From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Now a story from Germany that exemplifies the simmering conflict in Europe about immigration, integration, and Islam. An unrestrained national debate is underway about whether a big new mosque should be built in Cologne. Another large mosque, just an hour's drive away, faces little opposition. From Cologne, NPR's Emily Harris explains.
Zulfia Kaikin circulates with friendly grace and a watchful eye through a party breaking the daily fast of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan. Germans and Turks share round tables in a large white tent in Duisburg, a former coal mining city near the Dutch border. Born and raised here, Kaikin speaks perfect German. She is proud that banners advertising Mercedes and a national bank hang on either side of a small stage. It's the first time the local branches of such big German companies have sponsored a Ramadan event here.
In my eyes, it's sending out a clear signal that they recognize the Turkish potential. They see opportunities here.
Kaikin heads a Turkish community center that's getting a new home in a mosque under construction across the street. It will be one of the biggest mosques in Germany, but Kaikin says there was no divisive debate here because German politicians, church, and community leaders were invited to advise the project early on.
These are people the public trusts. Having them participate in developing the concept and the building is one reason why there wasn't any loud public criticism.
The mosque walls are up, but the main prayer room is still full of scaffolding.
If you can see upstairs, this is the room where the women will pray. And down here, it's the men's prayers room.
Sabrina Forberg, a non-Muslim graduate student interning with the mosque organization, points out extra-large windows, a detail added to promote transparency on the recommendation of a local Catholic priest. The community center has a separate entrance from the prayer areas designed to make non-Muslims feel more comfortable coming in.
The project is just a very good example for making people living together.
But Sabrina's husband, Thomas Forberg, volunteers that some of his relatives who live nearby don't like it.
And they are not so happy about this building. Now they are accepting or must accept that these Turkish ones will be neighbors for many years.
Sabrina waves at him to stop, but later he explains his relatives get annoyed when they see immigrants banding together to buy and share a Mercedes, for example, a tough economic achievement for a working German family. These sparks of discontent in Duisburg have burst into full flame in nearby Cologne, where another large mosque is planned.
It's not a sign of the will to integrate, but a wrong signal. It's a conquest on foreign territory. It's a declaration of war.
These strong words come from a highly respected Jewish writer in Germany, Ralph Giordano. But for him, the mosque is not the real problem. Integration is.
Apart from individual exceptions, integration is not possible. This is because we have here a clash of two cultures. Islam is simply not compatible with our Judeo-Christian history.
Cologne's new mosque would replace one crammed now into a low, cream-colored building across the street from a gas station. Open the door during Friday prayer and a wave of moist heat from the packed room tumbles out. Hundreds more men pray in a conference room downstairs or outside. Sadi Arslan is president of DTIP, the organization planning the new mosque.
I believe there is some prejudice, and lack information maybe, because they have already mosque here. So what we want is, the new one, the bigger one, and the modern one.
Arslan is a civil servant of the Turkish government. DTIP was established by Turkey and brings Turkish-trained imams to Germany. This bothers Nikolaus Schneider, president of the Protestant Church in the Rhineland.
And so we have the very interesting situation that the Turkish government is doing religious politics in Germany, which is something very different than the self-organization of the Muslims here.
Still, Schneider supports the mosque on the principle of religious freedom. He says opposition flared here in part because of the history and culture of Cologne. Indeed, the small right-wing political party fanning the flames is called Pro-Cologne. Markus Wiener is deputy president.
For us, Cologne is still a German city, even if that's hard to see in some areas. We want to preserve the German character, the Christian Occidental character of this town.
A symbol of Cologne is its Gothic cathedral with its massive organ and towering spires. These spires are three times the height of the mosque's planned minarets, which would be more than a mile away. Still, those minarets bother Winrich Granitzka of Germany's main conservative party.
The bigger the mosques become and the more monumental they appear, the more people fear our culture is being pushed back and another culture is getting more and more powerful.
Some observers say the controversy in Cologne, as opposed to Duisburg, is in part simply due to different personalities involved in the different towns. There are mosque supporters in Cologne, to be sure. Claudia Meyer, an ethnic German and non-Muslim, works in an office nearby and strolls the commercial strip by the mosque frequently.
I'm actually for it, because the building that's standing there right now is very ugly, and a beautiful mosque would make the area more attractive.
Nida Yirmaz, a Turkish native who's lived here 27 years, runs a restaurant down the street.
What's there now is not a mosque. It's like a rented apartment. But a real mosque is something very different, like a church. Muslims come here from all over for religious holidays, and people want to see a real mosque.
But even support comes with challenges. German writer Günter Wallraff lives 10 minutes' walk from the mosque. He once disguised himself as a Turk, wearing makeup and contact lenses for 2 years, and wrote about the racism and exploitation he experienced. He supports the new building, but to prove or test the community's openness, he proposed reading passages from Salman Rushdie's Satanic Verses on the place the mosque will be built. Rushdie faced death threats because of the book's depiction of Prophet Muhammad, but Wallraff says he just wants to foster dialogue.
I did a reading with neighbors who also go to the mosque. I invited them over, served them tea and cookies, and read passages from Rushdie. And they laughed. They laughed out loud and in a liberating way.
The mosque decided to not host the reading there. Despite all the fury, it is expected to get a final permit soon and begin to build next year. Hardcore opponents say they may try to block it legally and to keep the issue alive for regional elections in 2009. Emily Harris, NPR News, Cologne.